up, brother?
What's up, brother?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Why don't you stand up with me? Welcome to Christian Family Church. I'm going to ask the ushers to just let everyone know we're starting here. Turn to your neighbor and shake their hand and tell them you're glad to see them and welcome them. Smile at them. Praise God. You know, we start out our service with a time of praise, a time of worship, where we worship the Lord. And the reason we do, the Bible says here in Psalm 42, verse number 4, it says, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. It said, I went to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. You know, praise is how we are supposed to come into God's presence. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. We come before the Lord with praise. The Bible says praise is good. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Are you ready to praise the Lord this morning? Come on, put your hands. Voices, say, Lord, I came to praise you today. Come on, stand up.
glorify you. In Jesus' name. We know.
10, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen. Amen.
In Jeremiah chapter 33, the Word of God says, call to me and I will answer you.
Hallelujah.
And I will show you great and mighty things.
Amen.
That you do not know. You know, thank God we can call upon the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayer. Before, or as we sing this final song this morning, the song is called Do It Again. And I would encourage you to join with us and to lift your voice and to sing out to the Lord. This is a declaration of faith this morning. It says, Lord, you know, I've seen you do it again. You've never failed me. Do it again, Lord. And I encourage you to sing with us. Sing it out. Lift your voice. Say it in faith. Lord, thank you for doing another miracle in my life. Thank you, Lord. I've seen you do great things. I believe in you to do it again, Lord. And I want to invite you, as we sing, if you need prayer this morning, I want you to come. And we want to pray. Whatever you may need in your life. Maybe you need healing in your body. Praise God. The Lord is our healer. The Bible says that the believer, if they lay hands upon the sick and pray, that the sick will be healed. There's miracles happen. I've seen literally thousands of people healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ as we prayed. I've seen miracles take place. Maybe you're here. Maybe you have a big mountain, a problem before you. You don't know how to overcome it. Let me tell you, if you call upon the Lord, He said, I will save you. I want you to come for prayer. We're gonna pray. We're going to trust God to supply every need and to do a miracle in your life, to bring restoration, to bring healing, to bring provision, to bring freedom, deliverance, whatever it is. I want to encourage you to come and let's call on the Lord together. Let's call upon Him. He said, if you call upon Him, you will be saved. He will deliver you. He will hear you. He will answer you. So I want to ask our Connect group leaders, come help me to pray. And our prayer warriors, you know who you are. I want you to come and help me to pray. Come up here right now. And if you need prayer this morning, please don't be shy or embarrassed. It might even be the very first time that you've ever been to this church. We want you to know that you are welcome. We're glad you're here. And that the Lord loves you. And He wants to meet every need in your life. And so I invite you to come forward and let us pray. And as we do that, church, we're going to sing this final song. It's called Do It Again. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Let's lift our voice and let's worship Him this morning. Amen.
Change to come, knowing the battle.
the very beginning of this song, and I want us to declare it. I want us to sing it. I want us to worship Him this morning. I know there's no time to stand and watch and let you sing. Let's declare He is God. He will do it again. We're going to sing it this morning. Come on, church. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Let's declare it.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence.
amazing things in here. I've seen him come through in situations that seemed impossible. And he's come through for me. You know, the Bible says that we should look back. It talks about looking back on the things God has done in order to remind us of what he's capable of and what he's willing to do, and put our faith in him. And I feel my faith stirred this morning. How about you? So thanks to the worship team this morning. The worship has turned and bring someone. Welcome to church this morning. Tell them good to see you in church. Relationship with the Lord, we've got to get ourselves in an atmosphere where we can grow, right?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the fact, I was reading the one day, someone said, bananas don't grow in Alaska, but they do grow in Jamaica. So if you want to grow bananas, you grow them in that environment, right?
Yeah.
It's the same if we want to grow spiritually. We've got to get ourselves in the right environment. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
We've got to get in an environment where our faith is fed and where we hear the word of God and where we worship God together. And then we spiritually grow. Amen?
Yeah.
And I believe you're in a place like that this morning. We're glad that you're here. We have a chance to look at your faces, see who's... I know what summer's like. Everybody's kind of in and out. You're having some vacation. You, but we welcome you this morning. We want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time today. We have visitors here with us, and we love to have visitors, don't we?
Yeah.
And so if you're here for the first time, we just want to honor you. We'd like to, our ushers have a gift bag ready for you. They'd just like to give you a couple of things. And if you're here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand where you are that we can welcome you? God bless you. Thank you. Those who anybody else, first time, just lift your hand till the usher sees you. We have, you've been here before, yeah. Sue's been here before. But we have some guests with us today, all the way from Switzerland, and we'll talk to them a little bit later on in the service, but we're very glad to have Jan and Sue and Amerva with us and the whole family. They drove up from Miami this morning, so you drove a far way. You didn't drive as far as they did.
Yeah.
But we're glad. Now, those of you who've got one of those visitor packs, inside there's a couple of things. One is a CD from Pastor Steve, a teaching CD. We hope that'll be a blessing to you. And then there's also a white card in there. Just take a moment and fill it out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and just find out how you enjoy the service. And we're very glad that you came. We'll be around after service. If you just want to come and say hi, we enjoy that. So thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are you doing well today?
Yes.
Are you glad to be in church today?
Yes.
Sunday's my favorite day. I don't know about you. But you realize today is the first day of the week, right?
Yes.
It's not the last day of the week. Today is the first day of the week, and you're starting out your week by honoring the Lord today. That's the best way to start your week, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. You know, I hope you're having a great summer, but I will kind of be glad when summer's over in this sense that everyone will come back, because every week we have different folks away, you know, people on vacation. But we're so glad to have Jan and Sue and their whole family here with us today. We've known them for 25 years. They actually, they were our children's church pastors. Yes, 25 years. Figure it out. Maybe longer. You think longer? Well, we started the church in 91. In 1991, we started the church in Cape Town. And that's 26 years ago. And were you there from the beginning? Okay, so then it's 26 years. They actually were our children's church pastors for 5 years in Cape Town. And now they live in Switzerland. Well, they've lived there for many years. But you're going to hear from Jan and Sue. They're going to tell you the wonderful missionary work that they do throughout Africa that they've done for many years. They're going to come and share a little bit about what God is doing through them, because we've supported their mission work in Africa for, I think, 15 or 16 years. And you don't realize it, but you are impacting lives in Africa because of your giving. People that you may never meet, they're going to be in heaven one day because you gave and supported the kingdom of God. And we were able to support missionaries like this. Amen? Praise God. I want to welcome those who are watching online today. And I want to give a special shout out to Anthony in Philly, Philadelphia. He's going to be 16 tomorrow. It's his birthday tomorrow. And he's that's Tony Carrada's son. Does everyone knows Tony, right? He's with his son. And they told me they'd be watching today. His son watches us often live. And so, Anthony, happy birthday. Glad you're watching today. Amen? Praise God. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Did anyone think to bring your Bible to church today?
Yes.
If you have your Bible, you know what I like you to do? Wave, make the devil mad, wave it around, wave that Bible around. I like that song, Devil Not Today. Yes. Do you know what the whole point of that song is? It means no matter what comes against you, no matter how the enemy may try and attack you, try and get on your nerves, sometimes you better tell him, devil, you're not stealing my joy today. Devil, I'm not letting you affect me today. A pastor friend of mine, someone I know in Chicago, Kent Muncy, he put on Facebook this morning, he woke up and his car was stolen. He lives in downtown Chicago. And he woke up, his car was stolen, and he put the post, devil, not today. He had to get an Uber to church. But you're not stealing my joy. Amen. Say, devil, not today.
Amen.
Say, God, do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's just say a word of prayer before we get into the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus today. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for sending your Son to this earth that we could be saved, that we could know you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is full of life. Your word brings faith. It brings us wisdom. It brings us direction. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. As we go now, Lord, to study, to learn from your word, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher and that you bring revelation and understanding to every person this morning. I pray, Father, that not one person will leave here the same way that they came in, but they'll be changed by your word, by your spirit, by your anointing. I pray that every burden will be lifted, every yoke will be destroyed. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise for everything that will be done and everything will be said. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
Now this morning I want to start a series. I don't often teach in series anymore. I used to do it all the time in years gone by. But I just felt this morning I want to teach a series called The Three Greatest Success Habits. I want to share with you the three greatest habits that will bring success in your life. Are you ready?
Yes.
And this today will be part number one. Now, here's our scripture, our foundation scripture we're going to be basing this on. It's in Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 8. And this is what the Lord said to Joshua. He said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Say prosperous.
Prosperous.
And successful. Say successful.
Successful.
Do you know God wants you to be successful?
Amen.
Do you know God wants you to be prosperous?
Yes.
I would be called one of those prosperity preachers.
Amen.
Do you go to that prosperity church? Yeah, what do you go to? The poor church? We go to... The Bible says that if you will meditate on the Word of God day and night and keep it on your lips and observe to do whatever everything is written in it, you'll make your way prosperous and successful. God wants you to be successful. He must do, because otherwise, if God didn't want you to be successful, why would He tell you how to do it? Right?
Yeah.
This to me, I mean, this may seem basic to some of us, but you'd be amazed how many people do not understand, do not believe, have never heard that God wants them to be a success. That God wants them to prosper.
Yeah.
Amen? And let me tell you, the first greatest success habit, that scripture, this scripture contains the three greatest success habits you can ever put into practice in your life. And the first one is meditating on what God says. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. The first success habit is to meditate daily on what God says. To meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that he said this. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Do you know when you really progress in the things of God? Do you want to know what? Do you want to know how you progress in the things of God? Anybody?
Yes.
You give yourself entirely to it.
Yes.
Paul said, Timothy, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely. God said to Joshua, meditate on my word day and night. If you meditate on my word, you will make your way prosperous. You'll make your way successful. This is the part that we have to play. Whether or not we're successful is, are we willing to meditate on what God says? The word meditate means to think about over and over. It also means to mutter. And studies tell us we talk to ourselves up to 30,000 times a day. Sometimes you're talking to yourself just in your mind. Right? There's always something playing in our mind. But we've got to pay attention. What are we thinking about? What are we meditating on? Really, meditating is the same principle as worrying. I know you all know what that means. I know everybody sitting in here, you know what it means to worry. Well, meditating is really the same principle as worrying. When you worry, you're meditating on the wrong thing. You're using your faith in reverse. If you go through the day worried about your finances, or worried about your family, or worried about your future, because you are allowing the wrong thoughts to play, it's going to cause you to be anxious, fearful, discouraged. The problem is what you're choosing to meditate on. You see, you control the doorway to your mind. When those negative thoughts come knocking, you don't have to answer the door. You can say, no, thank you. I choose to meditate on what God says about me.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
You know, today there's a lot of doom and gloom. If you watch the news very long, let me tell you, you'll get depressed. Now, I like to watch the news because I like to know what's going on. But I limit myself, man. Because you've got to understand, the news runs on these, you know, 30-minute cycles. They repeat the same thing. If you watch the news all day, you'll hear the same thing 10 times over. So if you just watch that over and over and over and over and over and over again, boy, you meditate on that, you can get depressed.
Yeah.
You know, the stock market, the economy, politics, the debt crisis, the Russia's doing this and that one's doing that, and North Korea, all these things. I mean, people are panicked today. If you go through the day thinking about how bad it is, oh, I wonder if I'm going to make it. Oh, what if I lose my job? What if my retirement goes down? If you dwell on that, you're going to be stressed out. I'm not saying hide your head in the sand, but I've learned you can't meditate on negative reports. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the scripture tells us, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Meditate on things that are good.
Yes.
Meditate on, think about things that are lovely.
Right.
Think about things that are of good report.
Yes.
You see, it might be true, but is it of good report? Well, I heard so-and-so. I heard so-and-so. I heard this and that about so-and-so. Have you heard about so-and-so and this and that and they did this and the other? It may be true, but is it good?
Yeah.
Is it encouraging? The Amplified Bible says, fix your mind on these things. You see, if it's not a good report, don't dwell on it. Because that's just going to poison your spirit. Instead of replaying the doom and the gloom over and over again, rather replay what God says. Yes, the financial situation, it may be a bit shaky, but you know what God says? God says in Philippians 4, verse number 19, my God shall supply some of your needs, most of your needs, all your needs, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all of your needs. So what does the news say? Oh, the news say this is, you know, although really, in the last 6 months of this year, the economy in America has gone up, the stock market's gone up, things are going up. But even so, how many of you know there's a lot of negative news that you could dwell on? But instead of listening to that, meditate on, my God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. Say it out. Say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, say it one more time. Say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you know when you said that, didn't you feel something rise up on the inside of you? It's called faith. See, God said He'll prosper you and He'll supply for you even in the time of a famine. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and his confidence. Blessed is the man who's made the Lord his hope and his confidence. He's like a tree planted by the riverbank, with his roots reaching deep down into the water. A tree not bothered by the heat, not worried by the long months of drought. Its leaves stay green. It goes right on producing all of its luscious fruit in it. The man who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted with its roots deep in the water. It's not bothered by the heat. It's not worried by months of drought. Its leaves are always green.
Amen.
That's what a man's like who's trusting the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 19 says, I will make even a road in the wilderness. I will make rivers in the desert. God can make a river in the desert. God can make a way in the wilderness where it doesn't look like there's any way. Let me tell you, God has a way. Amen. God said when we tithe, He'll open the windows of heaven and He'll pour out blessings that you cannot contain. And He'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So go through the day meditating on that. My God supplies all my needs. My God can make a way in the wilderness. Yeah. The windows of heaven open above me. Blessings being poured out upon me. Family, get your mind going in the right direction. Because remember, the economy, that's not our source. God is our source. My job's not my source. God is my source.
Amen.
Amen. We might not know everything that the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And our trust is not in the economy. Our trust is not in the government. Our trust is in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. David said in Psalm 20 verse 7, he said, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In modern times, you might say it like this. Some trust in their money. Some trust in their job. Some trust in what the economists say. But our trust is in the God who created it all. Our trust is in Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, our provider. Our trust is in Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, if you meditate on that, you won't have total fear. You'll have total peace. You'll know God is in control. He'll give you total victory. It all depends upon what you meditate. You can meditate on the problem, or you can meditate on the promise. You can meditate on the news report, or you can meditate on God's report. Whatever you're allowed to play in your mind, that's going to determine what kind of life you're going to live. In Isaiah 26 in verse 3, the Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, when you fix your thoughts on God, and when you meditate on what the Word of God says, it'll bring you peace. You will have peace. You want to know how to have peace? Fix your thoughts on what God says. Meditate on what He says. There's a way to have perfect peace.
Yeah.
How? By keeping your thoughts fixed on Him.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you, some of you would go to another level in your life If you just pay more attention to what's playing in your mind. See, you can't go through the day, you know, thinking and meditating on thoughts like, well, you know, I sure hope my child straightens up, or it doesn't look good, or what if I get laid off, or I may not overcome this illness. Listen, when you dwell on that, you're not going to have peace. Meditating on the problem doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. I said meditating on the problem doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. You've got to change what you're dwelling on. You've got to change what you're meditating on. All through the day, go around thinking about what God says. Now, if you never read the Bible, you're going to have a hard time meditating on what God says. If you spend 3 hours a night watching the Real Housewives of New Jersey or New York or wherever, Orange County, or The Bachelor, if you watch that all the time and you never read your Bible, or you watch the news all the time and you never read your Bible, you're going to have a hard time meditating what God says. This all begins by reading your Bible and then thinking about what you read over, thinking about it throughout the day, saying what God says, keeping it in your mouth, and meditating and dwelling on the promises of God.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 34, verse 19. Here's something that I like to meditate on. You know what I like to think about? Psalm 34, 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. So you know what I think? Yeah, I may have some troubles, but the Lord delivers me out of them all. The Lord delivers me out of them all. Do you know what the enemy will try and tell you? You're never getting out of this. Oh, you're never going to overcome this. And he wants you to meditate on that. I'm never getting out of this. It's never going to change. There's no way out. There's no hope for me. No one loves me. Everybody hates me. I might as well die. I might as well live. But that's what the enemy wants you to meditate on, stuff like that. Instead of meditating on the righteous person might have many troubles, but the Lord delivers me out of them all.
Yeah.
Or Romans 8 verse 28. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Everything's working together for my good.
Amen.
When something bad happens, everything, thank you Lord, that everything's working together for my good.
Amen.
See, when you meditate on that, you'll have a greater peace. You'll have greater joy. You'll have greater strength. I mean, the Apostle Paul understood this principle. The Apostle Paul wrote in Acts 26 verse 2, he says, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. Do you know that happiness starts in your thinking? I said happiness starts in your thinking. Not in your bank balance. I can tell you a lot of wealthy people are very depressed. I've met them. There are a lot of wealthy people. Do you think money makes you happy? It may help, but it don't make you happy. There's a lot of wealthy, depressed people. Are you kidding me? Paul said, I think myself happy. Paul had been through a lot of disappointments. I mean, are you kidding me? Paul had been shipwrecked. He'd been thrown in jail. He'd been mistreated. He'd been beaten. He didn't focus on his problems. Paul didn't focus on his problems. He wasn't meditating on how bad it was. He wasn't replaying all of his disappointments. No, Paul's the one who said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, he said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's the one who wrote in Romans 8, 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul is, if you read the verses prior to that, he's talking about all the problems that came against him, but at the end of it, he says, but we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, Paul's mind was filled with thoughts of hope, with thoughts of faith, with thoughts of victory. He was saying, it might look bad, but I've learned the secret of how to think myself happy. You see, some people have thought themselves depressed. They've thought themselves unhappy. They've focused on their problems so long that they've thought themselves discouraged. They've watched the news report and they've thought themselves afraid. But the good news is, just like you can think yourself depressed and fearful and negative, you can think yourself happy and peaceful as well. Amen. Isaiah 60 verse number 1, It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise from the depression. Rise from the prostration to a new life. You see, the first place that you have to arise is in your thinking. You've got to put on a new attitude. You've got to change what you're meditating and dwelling on. You can't go through the day just thinking about your problems or dwelling on who hurt you, who let you down. That's going to keep you discouraged. You've got to start thinking yourself happy. In other words, throughout the day, you should be thinking, my best days are in front of me. Something good is coming my way. What's meant for my harm, God's going to use to my advantage. My greatest victories are still out ahead of me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If God is for me, then who can be against me? Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. You've got to be thinking like that. You see, on purpose, you've got to think what I call power thoughts. Instead of thinking how weak you are, think about how strong you are. If Ephesians 6 verse 10 tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you really think, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Say it. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. Say it like you mean it. I'm strong in the Lord. Say it like, I'm strong in the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Say, I'm strong. Say, I'm healthy. Psalm 41 verse 3 says, the Lord restores them to health. Think about that. The Lord restoring my health. The Lord's restoring my health. How about this? I'm blessed. Ephesians 1 verse 3, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say to your neighbor, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say it loud, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
See, when you wake up in the morning and those thoughts come to your mind, oh, you don't want to go to work today. You've got so many problems. You've got so much coming against you. Why don't you just pull the covers over your head and, you know, just be depressed today. No, that's when more than ever you've got to kick it in gear. It's going to be a great day today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad. I'm excited about my future. I'm enjoying what happened to me today. Blessings are chasing after me today. You see, you choose what you meditate on. I said you choose. Don't ever start the day off in neutral. You can't wait to see what kind of day it's going to be. You have to decide what kind of day it's going to be. When you get up in the morning, before you check the news, before you check the weather, before you check to see how you feel, you need to set your mind in the right direction. Because if you don't set your mind, let me tell you, the enemy will set it for you. He'll remind you how bad you got it, all the mistakes you've made, all the people that have come against you, on and on and on. Very often, the way you start the day determines what kind of day you're going to have. If you start the day, how many of you know if you start the day negative, complaining, discouraged, you're setting the tone to have a lousy day? You've got to meditate on the right things because your life is going to follow your thoughts. And if you get up in the morning, you know, and you're thinking, nothing good ever happens to me. I never get any good breaks. I'm probably never going to get out of bed. I don't think I'm ever going to meet the right person. I don't think I'm ever going to get married. Then that's what you're releasing your faith for. And Jesus said in Matthew 9, in verse 29, He touched their eyes, these two blind men. He said to them, become what you believe. Become what you believe. And it happened. They saw. Their eyesight was restored. You see, if you believe you'll never meet the right person, then unfortunately you probably won't. Your faith is working. If you believe you're going to get laid off, don't be surprised if you do. If you're going to become what you believe. I'm asking you today to believe what God says about you. I'm asking you to agree and meditate and dwell and fix your mind on what God says about you. Believe that you're blessed. Believe that you're favored. Believe that you're strong, that you're healthy, that you're talented, that you're well able. Get rid of the wrong thoughts that are contaminating your thinking and start meditating on what God says about you.
Amen.
David said in Psalm 1, in verse 1, he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates in it day and night. Blessed is the man who meditates in the word of God day and night. In verse 3 it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The Voice translation says it like this: you are like a tree planted by flowing, cool streams of water that never run dry. Another translation says, bearing fruit in every season without failing. Not in some seasons, but in every season. That means even if the economy goes down, you'll still be bearing fruit. When others are going under, you'll be going over. When others have total fear, you have total peace. When others are complaining, you've got a song of praise. When others are surviving, you're thriving. Amen. In fact, the Message Bible says, yes, the Message Bible says you'll always be in blossom. Say, I'm always in blossom. Say, I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatever I do, it prospers. See, that's God's dream for your life. That you always have a smile. That you always have peace. That you're always excited about your future. It doesn't mean that we'll never have any adversities. But in those difficult times, because you have your thoughts fixed on Him, deep down, you'll have a confidence, you'll have a knowing that everything is going to be alright. You know God is still on the throne. He's fighting my battles. And not only am I going to come out of this, but I'm going to come out of this better than what I was before.
Amen.
Why, Pastor Steve? Because I got my mind filled with God's Word. And when you're in agreement with God, let me tell you, the Creator of the universe goes to work. He'll cause His favor to shine down on you. He'll cause you to be in the right place at the right time, making sure that you succeed. The bottom line is you are going to become what you believe. And you've got to take inventory of what is playing in your mind. Because if you go around thinking and meditating, oh, I'm afraid I'm never going to get well. I'm afraid my child's going to go off on the wrong path. I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid that's going to happen. Then your faith is going to draw in the negative. Do you know Job in the Bible? Job said in Job 3 verse 25, you know, a lot of people talk about the troubles of Job. And Job did go through a really tough time, lasted for 9 months. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Job actually brought the trouble on himself. Because in Job 3:25, he said this. He said, for the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Do you know that fear will open the door for the enemy in your life? Just like your faith can work in the right direction, it can also work in the wrong direction. You've got to pay attention to what you're meditating on. Because if you fill your mind with the right thoughts, there won't be any room for the wrong thoughts. If you go around constantly thinking about what God says, well, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm blessed, I'm favored, then when the negative thoughts come knocking, there'll be a no vacancy sign. They won't be able to get in. There'll be no room. Like one time we flew to South Africa, and we went to do a missionary trip in South Africa, and we had to stop first in Johannesburg, and then we immediately caught another flight from Johannesburg down to Cape Town. But we had our hotel already booked, but our flight in Johannesburg was delayed a number of hours, so by the time we got to Cape Town, it was midnight, and we were exhausted. I mean, we'd been going probably for 26 hours or something like that. But when we got to our hotel, because it was so late, they thought we weren't coming, and they'd given our room away to somebody else. And the hotel was totally full, 100% capacity. So I asked, can I please speak to the manager? And you know, we had this hotel booked for months and months and months. And he came and said, I'm so sorry, but I there's nothing I can do. We're 100% booked. I'd have to have someone leave the hotel in order to give you a room. I'm like, okay, that's fine. He was leaving. But that's what it's like when you keep your mind filled with God's Word. When that thought of fear comes knocking, you're not going to make it. This problem's too big. Let me in. Give me room to stay. Yeah. Just like that hotel manager. Going to say, sorry, fear. No vacancies here. No room here. You're going to have to go somewhere else. When that thought comes, you're never going to get well. Have you seen the medical report? You say, no vacancy. God is restoring health to me. But when that thought comes, you've seen your best days. You respond, no vacancy. My mind is filled with thoughts of faith and hope and victory and increase and abundance. There's no room for doubt, unbelief, anxiety, and fear. You see, you've got to take inventory. Who's staying in your house? Who's occupying the rooms of your mind? Because if you give fear a room in your mind, then faith gets left outside. There's not room for both. If you give I can't a room, then I can is left outside. If you give a room to lack, barely get by, I'm never going to make it, then increase, promotion, abundance is left at the door.
Yeah.
That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought. Say thought. Say I must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? That means that any thought that comes to our mind that disagrees with the knowledge of God, that disagrees with what God's Word says, we reckon that thought, you have to cast it down. You have to bring it into captivity. You have to take authority over it. You've got to not make room. When a thought of fear comes, that's not from God. You have to take authority. You have to cast that down. You have to bring it into captivity. You can't just allow any thought to play in your mind and meditate on it. Because let me tell you, what you think upon, that's what you're going to become. You've got to get rid of the wrong thoughts. And you've got to let what God said about you have a permanent home in your mind. I mean, think of it like this. When you go to bed, you lock the doors to your house, right? Anybody?
Yes.
You don't want strangers coming in. That's where you live. That's your home. You need to be the same way about your mind.
Yeah.
This is where I live. This is my future. This is controlling my life. I'm not going to let just any thoughts come in and have a home in my mind. I'm going to guard the doorway to my mind. I'm only going to give a room to thoughts of hope and faith and victory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I heard it put like this. If imagine you owned an apartment complex. And you rented out 80% of your apartments to drug dealers, criminals, and thieves. And the other 20% you rented out to law-abiding citizens. How many of you know what would happen? How many geniuses do we have in the room here this morning? After a few months, I think what would happen, the criminals and the drug dealers and the thieves would run off all the normal people. And then you know it's the same way with your thoughts. If you go around continually meditating and thinking about how bad it is, dwelling on your problems, all that you don't have, how tough your future's going to be, then all of those negative thoughts are going to run off the positive thoughts. You've got to quit renting out space in your mind to your problems. Quit renting out the valuable space to self-pity. Don't rent it out to thoughts like, can't do it, not going to happen. Some of you need to serve an eviction notice on those negative thoughts. You've got to serve an eviction notice. You've occupied my rooms long enough. I've got a new renter coming in. My new renter is faith, joy, peace, healing, victory, success, prosperity in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying that we deny the negative reports and we act like they don't exist. I'm simply saying don't dwell on them. Don't let it consume you to where that's all you think about. That's all you talk about. Learn to downplay it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, one time in scripture, Jesus was headed to pray for a little girl. She was very sick, but he kept on getting delayed. And finally, some people came up and they told the girl's father, they said, tell Jesus he doesn't need to come to your house anymore. It's too late. Your little girl already died. And the Bible says, I love this, in Mark chapter 5, verse 36 from the Amplified Version, it says, overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Jesus heard what they said, but he ignored what they said. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, keep on believing. Don't fear, keep on believing.
Yeah.
Jesus heard the negative report, but he didn't let it take root. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't turn around and go back home. He knew people don't have the final say. God has the final say. Yes. And let me tell you, in order to stay in faith, you have to ignore a negative report. You have to ignore what somebody said about you. You've got to ignore even sometimes what your own thoughts are trying to tell you. You might hear it, but just like Jesus, you choose not to dwell on it. You know, when my kids were younger, and one of their friends was talking too much, and they didn't want to hear it, they put up their arm and say, "Talk to the hand." That meant you talking, but I'm not listening. That's what you need to do when negative thoughts come to your mind. In your imagination, just put up your arm and say, "Talk to the hand." In other words, you talking, but I'm not hearing you. You're trying to rent a room, but there ain't no vacancies here. Amen. One time I was watching a football game. I'm not a big football watcher. This was a big game. It was the playoffs. There were only a few seconds left in the game. And the visiting team, they were down by 2 points. They were about to attempt a field goal to win the game. And the kicker on the field, he was lining up. He was getting ready for the biggest kick of his life. The opposing fans were hollering at him. They were trying to distract him. And just as he was about to kick the ball, the other team called a timeout. They were trying to give the fans more time to intimidate them. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And they started playing up on the big screens all the times that he'd missed before. They even went years back. They replayed all of his failures. Every time that he missed the ball, the crowd went crazy. 80,000 people screaming against him. He kicked that ball through the uprights, won the game. Afterward, the reporter interviewed him and asked him, "How did you handle the pressure? You had all these thousands of fans screaming against you."
Yeah.
He said, "It's funny, because I didn't hear anyone scream. I just kept telling myself, you can do this. You've got what it takes. You can do this. You've got what it takes." The reporter said, "What about all on the big screens? They were replaying all your failures, the time you missed in the past." He said, "Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't pay attention. I just ignored it." Do you know in life there's going to be times when it feels like every voice is telling you, "You can't do it. It's not going to work out. You're never going to overcome this problem." It may be physical voices, people around you, critics and naysayers, or it may just be voices in your own mind, thoughts that have come to discourage you. Don't be surprised if the enemy replays your failures. You've got to be like that young kicker. You may hear it, but you've got to choose to ignore it. You've got to realize people don't determine your destiny. God determines your destiny. And if you get in agreement with God and not let those distractions get you off course, God will get you to where He wants you to be. God's will and destiny for your life will be accomplished. But let me tell you, the first place you lose the victory is in your own thinking. I mean, you might feel like there's 80,000 voices screaming against you, telling you it's never going to work out. The problem is too big. You just put your hand out and you just tell those negative thoughts, "Talk to the hand." They want to rent a room in your mind. Show them the no vacancy sign. But let me tell you, if you'll keep your thoughts fixed on what God says, you will overcome that obstacle. You will accomplish that dream. That's what the Bible says in Joshua 1 verse 8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful." Here's the key. What is going on in your thought life? What are you meditating on a daily basis? One of the greatest success habits is meditating daily on what the Word of God says. That's why you need to read the Bible every day so that you know what God says. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I read my Bible. I use the Bible reading card. If you don't have the Bible reading plan, I've used this for years. I encourage you to get one. We'll give one to you. This is what I use to read my Bible. It's a systematic reading plan that I follow. Ushers, do you have these reading plans? James, where art thou? Do we have some? Can you see if you have them, and when the people go, if anyone wants one, they can get one from James. But here's what I do. When I read my Bible, any scripture that stands out to me, I underline it. And then I don't just read it once. I'll say it out loud over and over again. You know, when a scripture pops out, when you're reading your Bible, and a scripture pops out, I'll read it over and over and over again. Then if you can go throughout the day and keep on thinking about it, that's how you meditate on the Word of God. How do you worry about your problems? What am I going to do? It's coming up. Thursday. What am I going to do? I've got till Thursday. Do the same thing with the Bible. My God shall supply all of my needs. My God shall supply all of my needs. When does the heaven that open above me, blessings being poured out upon me, thank God, if God is for me, who can be against me? Let me tell you right now, that's how you meditate on the Word of God. Amen. The first success habit is to meditate on what God says. Make a decision. You're going to keep your thoughts fixed on what God says.
Yeah.
On purpose, power, think power. Yeah. I am strong. I am talented. I am committed. I am favored. I am blessed. Yes. Amen. Yes. Remember, you're going to become what you believe. Every day you're going to set your mind in the right direction. Don't meditate on your problems. Meditate on the promises of God. Do you know that there are 7,000 promises in the Bible? There's a promise that covers whatever you may be facing.
Yeah.
You just get that promise and you just think about that and you meditate on that. You've got to learn to think yourself happy. You've got to learn to think yourself peaceful.
Yes.
You've got to learn to think yourself victorious. Victory starts in your thinking.
Yeah.
If you'll develop this habit of meditating on what God says, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have perfect peace. You're going to always be in bloom. You're going to prosper and have good success. I believe you'll overcome every obstacle you face. You'll defeat every enemy. And you'll become everything God created and destined you to be. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You believe it today? You receive it today? Come on, give God a hand of praise. You pray it today? Lord, thank you for your word today. Say this. Say,
I receive
God's word today into my heart and into my mind. And say, I make a decision. Today. That I will meditate on what God says. I will think about, say this, I will fix my mind and think about what God says about me. I'm going to meditate on the promises instead of meditating on the problems. In the name of Jesus, say, I believe that I am who God says I am. I believe I can do what God says I can do. And I believe that I have everything God says I have. My God supplies all my needs. He's restoring my health. If He is with me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He who's in me than this problem that stands before me. Say, the Lord is fighting my battles. The Lord goes before me and He levels the mountains in the name of Jesus. Did you get something out of this today? Well, thank you, Lord. Next week I'm going to carry on with the second greatest success habit. I say greatest because there's nothing greater than this. When God says, if you meditate in my word day and night, and if you keep my word in your lips, and you do everything my word says, then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Let me tell you, you can take it to the bank. That's the key. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're an electrician. Whether you're a plumber or a politician. I think I'd rather be a plumber. Honorable profession. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. To hear this. Why don't you bow your heads for a moment? I want to pray for you. Just bow your heads for a moment. Close your eyes. Father, I think of every person here this morning. And Lord, I know not one person is here by any accident today. But I believe everyone sitting here is here by your divine hand. And I pray, Lord, that your will and your plan, your destiny will be accomplished in every person's life. Listen, why do you have your eyes closed? Why do you have your heads bowed? Something very important I have to do right now. This is probably the most important part of this whole service today. And that is, I want to pray a miracle, life-changing prayer for every person here this morning. If you would say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you died today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? You know for sure if you died today, you would go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can be sure of that. In fact, you can leave here today and you can know that all is right between you and God, that all is well, that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. You can walk out of here today and know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Won't you pray for me? Yes, if you would like to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you right now, quickly. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. I want you to slip your hand up right now. Lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand being raised. Just lift it up high. Say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me. Anybody else? All right. I'm going to ask, if you lifted your hand, please say this prayer with me from your heart. Church, I'm going to ask, can we all say this prayer together with them? Everybody together. Say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on the cross for me, to take my sin, my judgment. Lord, you said in your word that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved and I would be your child. So I do this today. Say it, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you've been raised from the dead. You are alive. And I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you today. And I confess, Jesus, you are now my Lord. And that means from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. And I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Now, praise God. The Bible says, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one person comes to the Lord. So we rejoice with people who said that prayer. If you lifted your hand and you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you, please, in a few minutes we'll be closing the service. Not yet. It's too good to be over.
Amen.
Not yet, please, Pastor Steve, more. In a few minutes, when we close the service, one of our ushers, one of our volunteers, they saw you lift your hand, they're going to come to you. We have a gift we want to give you. So just remain seated, if you don't mind, for a few minutes. Now, praise the Lord. Turn the lights up for me, if you would. I want to, this is offering time. Praise the Lord. This is the time where we honor the Lord. Thank you for those excited and believing and giving this morning. How many love God today? How many love the Lord today? How many love to honor God? How many love to give to the Lord?
Amen.
Listen, remain seated for a few minutes. We're not done yet. In a moment, I'm going to ask Sue and Jan van der Merwe to come up here, tell what God's doing in their ministry. But, you know, offering time, what does God expect and want for me at offering time? Let me tell you what God expects and what God wants. The Word of God says in Malachi 3 verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me in this, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And what is that the end of the verse? All right. Now, what does God expect of me? This is a time where the Lord expects us to honor Him with our tithes and offerings. Now, the word tithe means 10%, a tenth, a tithe, 10%. And what God expects from us is that the first 10% of every dollar we get, that it belongs to Him. The Bible says the tithe belongs to the Lord, and He wants us to bring it into the storehouse, His house, so there can be food in His house.
Amen.
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 Now, you're able to come here today in this beautiful hotel and hear the Word of God. Are you glad for God's Word today?
Amen.
Anyone glad for the message that you heard today from God's Word? You're able to come today and hear the Word of God and bring other people with you. And the reason you can do that is because of the tithes and offerings of God's people in this church that every week bring their tithes and offerings that enable us to have food in the house.
Amen.
Enable us to be here every week.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Now listen, take a couple of minutes here because I heard something this week and someone said something and you know, I never like to respond to something because of one person who said it, but there's a lesson to be learned here. That this statement was made that, you know, Pastor Steve, you're all about the money. You're always talking about the money. And Pastor Steve is talking about money so he can go on vacations. That's why Pastor Steve talks about offerings so he can go on vacation. Let's just get one thing straight. I don't pay for vacations out of tithes and offerings. The Lord supplies my needs. I have other means of income besides this. I'm involved in a business where I make thousands of dollars. And so that's what enables us to go on vacation. So let's get this straight. Your giving has got nothing to do with whether or not we go on vacation or whether or not I buy the wearer's jacket. This is about giving to the house of God. Jill and I receive a modest salary. Believe me, it's modest. But this church is not our only source of supply. God has other ways of blessing us. Amen? So, if you never heard that said, let me tell you, that's not true. That's actually the voice of the enemy trying to discourage people from giving to try and stop this church from going forward. You need to recognize what's the right voice and what's the wrong voice. Any voice that disagrees with the Word of God is not the voice of God. So if a voice comes trying to discourage you from giving and tithing because man of the team going on vacation, that's the voice of the enemy. Pastor Steve, don't go on vacation on your dime. The Lord provides for Pastor Steve. We've been given. I'm not bragging. I'm just informing you. I've got vacations I haven't been able to take yet that people have given to me. I don't have time. I've got a cruise someone gave me. We're trying to find time to take the cruise. We're just trying to find it. Someone gave it to us. Now, if you see me, there goes Pastor Steve on vacation again. Look at him cruising on my tithes and offerings. I mean, it would be funny, but if it wasn't so pathetic. No, someone gave it to us. So let's get that straight. Our tithes and offerings is to so that we can be here every week. It costs thousands of dollars to run the ministry. It costs us thousands of dollars to be here every week. We have staff. We have part-time staff. Like in a business, there's a lot of costs involved. I'm just telling you, people say, why do you receive offerings? Because number one, the Word of God says to. The Word of God says to. Amen. Secondly, family, remember this, we're getting ready to move in that new building. The Lord's done a miracle, provided us with an awesome building. We'll be in it next month. Now, here's our, show me the picture. Give me the pictures. Thank you. There's our new building. We'll be moving in March. Show us the plans. We now have the plans from the architect. There's the layout. It's going to be great. Go back. There you see the seats. There's the ground floor. We've got the floor plan. We've got the seats. The auditorium on the right-hand side, which is on the left-hand side when you walk in. Then we've got the lobby, the bookstore area. We're going to have nice big bathrooms. We've expanded that. Ladies, plenty of bathrooms, 6 toilets for you. It's important if you're a lady. Then we've got the children's 4 classrooms, 2,000 square feet for children's classrooms. Offices, when we go upstairs, we've got more offices, kitchen upstairs. Let me tell you, the Lord has provided for us. I'm excited about it. Thank you. Amen. Now, on August 1st, 2 days from now, our next down payment of $25,000 is due. We had to pay a $75,000 down payment, and they split it over three months, 3 payments, 25, 25, 25, and that's our good faith money they're asking for, because they've taken this building off the market, and they're not selling it while we do the zoning. Now the zoning's moving right along, the traffic study, the plans, everything's moving right along, and I don't see any problem, but that's why we had to put down $75,000, so that's kind of good faith money. But then when we move into the building next year, for the first 6 months of the year, we're not going to pay any mortgage. They're going to apply it for the first 6 months. So we pay $25,000 on Tuesday. We're going to pay the next $25,000. Of course, we've got zoning fees, we've got lawyer's fees, we've got renovation when we move in the building. We've got to renovate, knock walls down, and there's going to be some cost involved. But how many of you think it's going to be great to have our own home again? A better building than we had before. Amen. We're going to end up with a better building than what we had on Center Street. And our payment, instead of being $27,000 a month mortgage, our new payment is $12,500. So remember, I want to thank everybody sincerely. Thank you to our givers. Thank you to all of you who've given to this church. Thank you to our partners. We wouldn't be here every week if it wasn't for you. Thank you to the people who've given to our new building. We so appreciate it. And I want you to know, I believe with all my heart that when you help to build God's house, God will build your house. You help build the house of God, and God will take care of your house. And it's happening. God's doing miracles. Where's Liz? Liz over there. Excuse me, a few months ago, came to me. She said where she was renting her house for a number of years, she was renting a house. The owner decided to sell the house. And she said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got to move. I don't know where I'm going to go. I said, you know what? God's going to give you something better. She ended up buying her own house, Port St. Lucie, moved into. Is it a brand new home?
No, it's not brand new.
It all looks brand new. Moved into a brand new home. Listen, man. Why? Because she helps support the house of God. God's taking help in her house. Amen. So thank you to all our givers. I want to ask Jan and Sue to come stand up here with me, if you don't mind. Yep. Come on, Sue. I know how you love the spotlight. I know you love to be up in front of people. Hold that. Now, we've known Jan and Sue, as I said, since 1991 when we started a church in Cape Town, and they were our children's pastors for 5 years. And remember back those days? And then you moved to Switzerland. What year did you move to Switzerland?
In
95. 96.
Sometime around there.
Around there, mid-90s. But then, you moved to Switzerland, which is where you were born there, right?
No.
Who was born? Sue was born. Okay.
Okay.
Now, but for years, you've had a heart for Africa. And Jan does missionary work throughout Central Africa. How many years have you been doing that?
15 years.
For 15 years. Wow. Tell us some of, we got some pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell us some of the things. Tell us what you do, Jan.
All right. Well, basically, the ministry is about the ministry to pastors and community leaders. And simply based on Genesis 1:26, God said, let's make man in our image and likeness. And why the ministry is to pastors and leaders? We have too many pastors, leaders, and community people that have no clue what the image of God is. If we're not living God's image, we are not doing what God wants us to do.
Yeah. So you train leaders.
I'm training leaders and pastors to find out what their lives should be like so that they can bring that over to the community.
So you have like Bible schools?
Bible schools, but they're not in buildings. The Bible schools are where the people are.
Right.
And since 2002, we've trained between 12 and 15,000 pastors.
Wow. Really? Wow. 12 to 15,000 pastors. How many people does that influence in Central Africa?
Maybe, well, that's the point.
Show us another picture. What are those books?
Well, that's where we started.
That's where you started out.
Yeah.
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
2002.
Yeah.
What's the next picture?
That is the same place last year. Now the story about this is that
looks like it could be downtown New Orleans.
It is, yes, but it's actually downtown Detroit.
When was that now?
That was last year. Okay. The point about it is the why I put that in is because the pastors have started to influence their communities, and the actual local county there provided the funds to pastor or to teach 1,000 pastors.
Is that right?
Right.
The government?
The government, yes.
The government's giving money to train pastors?
Yes.
Wow.
Amen. And the next one is inside. That was about, that day there was 200 pastors that graduated there.
Is that right? Wow.
So, that is now in South Sudan. We're doing the same thing.
In the Sudan?
In South Sudan. Well, they're all over. From Sierra Leone.
What nations do you actually go into?
Okay. From starting at the top. Sierra Leone, Liberia, Ivory Coast, the Ghana, Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and a little bit of South Africa.
Wow. Thank God. You minister to a lot of children too, right?
That is what it's about. God said to me, you know, if we're not reaching out and touching the lives of people around us, we're doing nothing.
Yeah.
So the basics of, and that is the thing, that to reach out and touch the lives of kids, feed them, the street children, feed them, give them schooling and whatever. Basically, touch the life of kids all over. That's.
Now I know you also have other things where you teach people skills, job skills.
Clever.
You teach them.
Yeah, we teach people how to fend for themselves, because there are so many people that have nothing, especially in Africa. So what we do is
how to make an income.
How to make an income.
Like your own business, can't
it? Exactly. And that's what we do. We provide them with the machines, and they then teach the people how to do things. And out of the proceeds of what they make and sell, they then also, that's how they feed the children.
Wow. Praise God.
And what's the next one? The other one is love Binti. Binti is girl.
What is Binti?
Binti means girl in Swahili.
Oh, that's what they call a young girl.
Young girl.
A Binti.
Yeah, Binti. Okay. And what we're doing, one of the problems is that most children in Africa miss girls in the school for a week, a month, because of what happens every month. And they don't have money to do that. There's no facilities to clean themselves, so they just stay at home. So what we've been doing is to train, and you can show the next one, how to make reusable sanitary pads. So that they can
actually... They don't have that.
They don't have that. Oh yeah, they can't afford it.
Wow.
They can't afford it. So we've been teaching this, that's in Tanzania, teaching them how to make that, what materials to get, how to make it.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
The next one, that's now the current project, start of it. We've got some containers offered, people that were bringing things into Kenya, and of course, most of them don't know what to do with a container, so they said we could have them. And that container there, you can see that it's really nice and painted. Pity they messed it up. But what we're doing is, God gave me the image of, if we're in God's image, when we meet God in Genesis, what are we meeting doing? Creating. So what's in us? Creativity. And that's what this is called the creative container. Right? Because each and every one of us is a creative container. And what we are, the whole plan of this, that's our little, we also got a building. That one. And the use of that one, we're going to fix it, the tent and the container, where we're going to actually train creative teaching.
It's like a base.
It's like just a
base. Where is that one?
That's in Kitale, that's in Kenya.
In Kenya.
Kenya, yeah. And then we're going to take teachers how to think creatively so they can teach the children their subject creatively.
Praise God.
And because, I don't know what it's like here, but anyway, in Africa and many places in the world, when you go to school, they teach you how to learn some stuff so you can repeat it so you can get a job. You finish school, is there a job? No. So why are you teaching the kids that? So what we're doing is not changing the syllabus, not about syllabus, it's about a way of thinking. Instead of thinking how to repeat information, how you use information. And the whole thing there is to teach children not to grow up how to get a job, but how to create a job. So, and in our world, and you know it here as well, there are less and less jobs.
Right.
You need people.
Right.
We need to get back to what God created us to be. Creative.
Right.
Containers.
Right.
Living creatively, creating things. Everything that we, that is around you was created by some being. Right? If it wasn't, if the chairs weren't there, you would have been standing all morning. And, but we never think of the reality that that's our part in God's creation.
Right. Solve a problem.
Solve a problem. Do something.
Right.
You know?
Praise God.
You know your scripture there. Meditate on the word so that you can do.
That's right. That's right.
Not doing,
that's
as
right.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're not doing, you're dead.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And so that's what the ministry is about.
Praise God. Praise God. Pray over you. Now I want to let you know that we have supported their missionary work for 15 years. This church has supported them every month for 15 years. So you got everything that has happened in through their ministry, 15,000 pastors being trained, you have a part in that. Do you realize that? Because when you support this church, you're supporting their ministry. That means every last cut, you have a part in it. That's how partnership works. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You know, the Bible says we are supposed to go into all the world and make disciples.
Yeah.
You may never get to Rwanda.
Yeah.
You may never get to Kenya, Liberia, Sierra Leone. I mean, these are all vacation spots I've been missing out on.
But
And you know what is amazing, young, is that they, young works, in his, you have a business, right? In Switzerland?
Yeah, yeah.
He did for years.
For many, many years, you worked a business to fund your missionary work.
Half the month you would work.
Half the month you would work and raise and work, and then half the month you'd go and do this at your own cost.
Right?
Yeah. Well, let's pray over them. Why don't you stretch your hand and pray with us, Lord? We thank you for Jan and for Sue and their whole family. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you've used this couple to reach so many pastors and leaders and children in Africa. We thank you, Lord, for your hand of favor upon them. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you for calling them, anointing them, enabling them. And Lord, we pray right now that you would open new doors for them. We pray, Lord, that you would bring, supply every need in their life and in their ministry. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would use them to reach 50,000 more pastors, 100,000 more pastors throughout Africa, Lord. I just thank you for giving them wisdom, directing their feet. In the name of Jesus, thank you for protecting them wherever they go, that the angels of the Lord camp about them and protect them in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for driving us from Miami to be with us today. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? That's exciting. Ushers, how many people, if you're not ready to give by now, are you ready, Jesse? You ready? Did you say hell yeah? You said, I said, are you ready to give? You said hell yeah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to give?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. I'm teasing you. You know, I like it. Now listen, I just want to say, when I came into church, the hotel today, and I saw Sherry there with her board, have an amazing Sunday. It blessed me because they came to church for the very first time 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago was their first time. Now we've got Rick playing the piano. We've got Sherry on the welcome greeting team. In 3 weeks. What's your excuse? Huh?
Yeah.
Praise God. Don't forget, today we have the lunch club after service. If you want to join us for lunch at the Thai Lotus Blossom, it's right across the street in the Staples Plaza by the movies. Across the street here, there's a restaurant called the Thai Blossom. You're welcome. Thai Lotus Blossom, whatever. You're welcome to join. It's very reasonable. We went there and had lunch about a month ago. It was like $8. So if you want to join them, you're welcome to. I want to ask you, James, did you hand out those invites for me?
We are.
You got it?
I mean, the invites, yeah, we sent them.
If you've got an invite card in your seat, where are they? Can someone hand me one? All right. Hold this invite card in your hand. Would you mind holding it in your hand for me? Put up the scripture, Matthew 28. The scripture says, therefore, go out into all the world and make disciples. Say, God, you've called me. Everybody say, Lord, you've called me to make disciples, to reach other people for your kingdom. Do you know that making disciples is as simple as inviting someone to church? It's just that easy. I want to ask you to take this invitation card this week and determine you're going to invite someone, you're going to bring somebody to church with you next Sunday so that they can be saved, so that our church can grow, so that God's plan can be, His will can be done. Determine this week. I mean, I think about Sherry and Rick. They've been invited by Muff. Where are you, Muff? Where's Muff?
He should be inside.
You invited by Muff. Now, you told me that you actually saw me with Joel Osteen
on TV, and you went over to the Center Street location, and we'd already left, we weren't there. And then Muff invited you, and you didn't realize it was the same church. And when you walked in, you saw me, oh, that's the church you were looking for. That was 3 weeks ago. Let me tell you, listen to me, family. There are hundreds and thousands of people walking around Jupiter waiting for you to invite them. They're looking, they just don't realize it. They're waiting for you. There's hundreds of people walking around Jupiter waiting for you to invite them that they can come to church and their life can be transformed. They said to me, they are so thankful that Muff invited them, that you moved from Wellington a number of years ago. You've never settled in a church. And when they walked in here, they thought this is where God had them. And they are so excited. Am I exaggerating? They're so excited. They were at our commit group on Wednesday night at our house. They're so excited. Let me tell you, folks, there are people, and I mean it, that are just waiting. They're wandering around. They're waiting for you to invite them, that they're destined to be sitting in this church with you. Say, I will bring somebody with me to church. Say, I'm not going to heaven alone. I'm taking people with me in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, God bless you. We love you. I'm praying for you. I believe you have a great week this week. Remember to meditate on God's Word this week. Read your Bible. Think about it over and over. You watch the difference that it makes in your life, in your day, in your week. Amen?
Amen.
We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next week.